In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Children aren't supposed to be demon-possessed. Children aren't supposed to even get sick. Our hearts go out to them, and any parent would willingly trade places with their suffering child, but we can't. Hardships, sadness, sorrow came with sin. Disease, pain, struggles came with sin. And it is often not our actual sins that torment us the most, but living in this sinful world is a heavy, heavy burden. It's the struggle to maintain good relationships without constantly taking those loved ones for granted. It's the hardship in raising kids and feeling so underprepared as they grow up so quickly and their needs ever change. It's the daily grind of the day, not just of work, but of the day. The wear and tear on our bodies and our minds. It's the fact that hindsight is 20/20, and yet we can never go back. It's the frustration that everyone else seems to have everything under control while we feel like we're drowning. We would love to get everything right, but we can't. We would love to fix every problem in our lives and in our friends and neighbors and countries, but the simple fact is, sometimes we are just completely helpless to do anything. We are all beggars. This is true. We are helpless to stop our kids from growing. We are helpless to stop our kids from experiencing the hardships and difficulties of life. Growing pains are not just physical. Ask any teenage daughter whose boyfriend has just broken up with her. Sometimes there's nothing we can say, nothing we can do, except hold them and cry right along with them. It hurts. We need help. We need parents. We need policemen. We need presidents. We need judges. We need farmers. We need politicians, even. And yet their actions can often cause us deep sadness. It can take a little bit of courage to flip open that news app on your phone or to watch the television news. We see and hear things that we are not very proud that we are part of this country. Yet we can't change laws. We're not influential, well-known, or important in their eyes. Foreign leaders don't care about our policies. Congress doesn't call us up seeking our opinion. We're helpless. We vote according to our conscience, and yet their decisions affect us daily. We are left to be blown about by their every decision, for they are the leaders, we are not. And yet we don't always like where we are headed. What else can we do but cry out to our Lord for help? We are a wretched race, and it's even more painful for us Christians because we see the sin. We see the immorality, we see the depravity, and so it's really not the political policies that bother us most, whether we agree or disagree. But it's the unraveling of God's holy law that just tears us apart. Oh, how we wish we could do something to fix it, but we are not them, we're not the leaders. What else can we do but pray? At times we forget who our King really is, and who really is in control of all things. A president does not make or break a nation. God uses them for his purpose. He has a plan for this nation, for this state, for this city, for our neighbors, and even for ourselves. If 10, Lord, for the sake of 10, spare this nation, perhaps he will. Perhaps like so many nations that have gone before us, he will not. What else can we do but pray for peace and prosperity, for faithful, good, honest rulers, for faith and hope to dwell in the hearts of all people? We can't change God's holy will. We can't make him do what we want. But we can remind him of who he is. He is a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, who forgives. And he has shown that love and mercy on his cross, the atoning sacrifice, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. To him we cry out, but he does not always answer. We ask for good, faithful leaders, and yet still some are corrupt. We pray for a good president. Maybe we'll get one. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll be surprised. We pray for relief. We pray for relief from suffering, especially when it hits our kids, but it doesn't always come in the way or the manner that we had hoped. And at times, as parents, we feel just completely helpless to do anything. How long will he allow this world to continue like this? How long will he let mothers kill their babies just because they're an inconvenience to them? And even have it government sanctioned? How long will he allow fathers to desert their families, politicians, judges, and terrorists to unravel his holy law? How long will he allow churches to reject his word, deny his sacraments, and starve his people of grace? Lord, have mercy. We're scared of the world that our youth will inherit. We wonder how many churches will remain faithful to God's whole word. And the answer is never given. For no one knows the day or the hour. The Lord is silent. Life continues to unravel, and he can at times feel so distant from our hearts. We've run to him in prayer only to see him run away even faster. We've begged him for help and have received maybe nothing more than a cold glance, or worse. He doesn't always seem all that interested in our life or in our problems. He ignored the woman, and then he called her a dog. He wrestled with Jacob, and then he broke his hip. He doesn't always answer us in the time or way that we want. And then we hear him say, "I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." And the Lord disciplines everyone he loves and scourges, flogs those whom he accepts as sons. And our hearts can sink. But what else can we do but pray? Like this woman, we have no place else to turn. The words that our Lord spoke to this woman are among the harshest words that he ever spoke. And they are not spoken to an unbelieving adversary that is trying to trap Jesus, but to a Christian woman, a hurting, desperate mother who simply wanted to help her child. And yet these words of our Lord pulled out of her a most beautiful confession. She was willing to endure the insults of the Lord. She was willing to be called a dog, for she knew it was true. She deserved nothing. But she would not let him forget who he was. He was her master. And she wanted nothing more than the crumbs that were rightfully hers. The silence that sometimes we feel in our hearts from the Lord is meant to pull out of us the same beautiful confession. We confess that we are nothing. We are beggars. We are sinners. Our nation is nothing. This world is nothing. They are the same as we, yet we do not focus on what we are. But we focus on who God is. And we ask him, we beg him to deal with us according to who he is. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not forget that you are the Lord, the covenant God, who swore on oath that all nations would be blessed through Abraham. You are the God who eats with tax collectors, who raises the humble, who justifies the sinner, who restores the lost. You are the God who humbles and binds up the brokenhearted and the hurting, who removes the burdens, the struggles, the cares, the worries from our shoulders. You have not left us to deal with this world on our own, but you have ascended to the right hand of God Most High to rule all things for our good. You have promised to deliver us from every evil, even as you taught us to pray. And so a bruised reed you will never break, and a smoking wick you will never snuff out. You must show us mercy. You must always work out everything for our good. For you are the Son of David who has crushed Israel's enemies, our enemies, by your holy life and his innocent death. You shattered that ancient serpent's skull by your holy cross, and then you pinned your body to that tree of death so it might become for us a tree of life, giving us a divine fruit so we may eat and live with you forever. Remember your cross. Remember your resurrection. Deal with us according to your cross, and so deliver us from all pain and hardship, suffering, famine, fires, floods, earthquakes, disasters, yes, even cancer and pills and old age, immorality and every evil. Save us from death. Help us, even as you helped your saints of old. For we too are your saints, and we too struggle through this world. And so God's answer is found in his cross. God the Father remains silent, refusing to answer his Son, so that he might always give you the perfect answer. His empty tomb declares loudly, "You are forgiven. God is reconciled to you, and you are reconciled to God." The reason many people do not hear God speaking to them and think he is silent is because they do not know where he speaks to them. He speaks to them through his word, especially as that word is proclaimed here in his divine service. Though you hear the voice of a minister, it is God himself who speaks. He remembers his great love. He remembers his cross. He remembers his promises and that blood that has been spilled over you in a holy bath to make you holy and righteous. And then he directs all his attention toward you to look you right in the face. The body of Christ, he says, given for you. Here is your healing. Here is your medicine of immortality that cures your every ill. Here he unites his body with yours and your body with his. Here he restores your body so that you are like his glorious body. Here you overcome pain and heartbreak, terrorism and corruption and everything else that bothers you. For truly, this is what your God is doing for you here at this very hour. No, your life probably will not change all that much when you walk out of these doors. You still have finances, growing kids, aging bodies. It is very taxing. But perhaps it does get a little bit easier. A little less worry, a little less stress, a little more prayer. You have heard God speak. He is not silent, but he has spoken to you of his abiding love and mercy. Heaven is yours. He will not forget you. He has remembered his promise. You have heard God speak. And so faith humbly accepts the burdens that we bear, even as faith is constantly praying for them to be removed. They are, and they will be. God has delivered you already, but not quite yet. Now by faith, soon by sight, now in humble submission and fervent prayer, soon in joyful song and exalted glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.